Savior is Jesus my Lord. Amen. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul. It's hymn number 10. Turn there. Join me on that first verse. Every voice, please, on the first.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord.
And find our hymn book and turn to number 391. Hymn number 391. I have a home prepared where the saints abide over in the glory land. It's a wonderful song to sing, and let's think about Christ, think about what he's done for us as we sing with all of our hearts this morning.
I have a home prepared. Sing it out now.
Save
All right, everybody. Good morning. I don't know what it is where you're at. It's 11:10 here, but we are live here at the OPBC Meeting House. Well, I'm live, and I suppose you're live on here with me, but it's getting cold outside. It's chilly out there right now. It's actually going to warm up a bit. It's 43. Tomorrow it's going to dip down to 35. It almost froze this morning. It was pretty cold. And Brother Daryl and Teresa got me the biggest jug. Hang on, let me go get it. You got to see this. In my opinion, it is literally the best. The best barbecue sauce in the world, right here. See that? Night of the Living Barbecue. And Brother Daryl sent me this, and Teresa sent me this, and I'm telling you what, it is some good stuff. Good, good stuff. And I am very happy about that. And praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, if you haven't had this, boy, I'll tell you what, you don't know what you're missing for barbecue sauce. It is the best. And yes, it's hot. Their regular barbecue sauce is good too. But I'm telling you, it's some good stuff. So, anyway. Praise the Lord for that. I am very grateful for that. And I know I'll be eating it, a lot of it, because I like it. It's probably the, I'm telling you, it's so good. It's unbelievable. So, it's called Night of the Living Barbecue. Carl Winters, you must be from Croatia. The Croatian sensation. That's not a year's supply of barbecue sauce. What's the matter with you? Do you know that my little girls eat that hot barbecue sauce? My little girls mix it with mayo, and they eat that hot barbecue sauce, and they like it. I think my daughters can handle spices better than most of the Norwegian people up here in Minnesota. It's the best. Anyway, so praise the Lord for that. Good stuff, and I am very grateful for it. And I'm telling you what, they don't have very good barbecue sauce in Minnesota that I found. So this is a treat right here. It's good stuff, but we're grateful for it for sure. And it's funny because it went to my, look, let me give you the address, because it went to my old address that we used to have. And I don't mind that. I mean, I'm not worried about it. They'll give it to me. Look, Carl, I have 6 children. I'm not an island unto myself, okay? I have a wife and 6 children. What do you think I'm doing all day long, man? Giving these kids a spicy barbecue sauce. And then I come home and they're dumping it in their food and mixing it with mayo and eating it. And I'm like, what are you doing with my barbecue sauce? And my daughter goes, oh, this is great when you mix it with. It's like, well, it's not mine anymore. Famous Dave's is not bad. Lisa, let me tell you something. Now it's time. It's time for the barbecue connoisseur talk here. Okay, here we go. All right, let me flip my hat around. Uh-oh. My Sig Sauer hat. Oh, it's crooked. How do I get it straight? There it goes. There it goes. All right, it's barbecue talk time. Okay? Now listen. Famous Dave's. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay? Let's do that. We'll do that. All right. Now, let's go here. Here we go. All right. This right here is Devil's Spit. Now, it's not bad. It's not bad, but it's not that good. It's okay. It's actually, no, I shouldn't say that. It is better if you've never had this, then yes, you can handle that. Okay, and you'll think that's great, all right? But if you've had this, or if you've had this, that's really, it's really thin and liquidy, kind of. The Texas Pit's okay, the Rich and Sassy, their sauce is decent. It's decent. Okay, it's decent. But Lisa, you're going to have to come and try this. Because this is unlike any of that. There's just no comparison. I thought I had good barbecue sauce until I went to Kansas City and I got that barbecue sauce. Big difference. Big difference. I'm just going to tell you right now that If you ate this barbecue sauce, you wouldn't eat any of that. You would be like, okay, I guess I have to, so I'll eat this stuff. That's what it's like. And I'm not even exaggerating. Because I seriously, last time I was in KC, I wouldn't have got a gallon of it if I didn't think so. So, I'm just telling you. And the longer it sits, too, I swear it gets stronger. It just does. And you got it, and it's thick. It's nice and thick. So, anyway. And I'm telling you that I don't get endorsed by, I'm not getting paid to tell you this. But in Minnesota, I mean, Famous Dave's is just about all you can get. So you got to kind of be happy with Famous Dave's because it's just the way it is. Yeah, there's no high fructose corn syrup in this, I don't think. Let me check. I don't remember. I have to look. Here we go. We got tomato puree, water, tomato paste, brown sugar, sugar, chipotle pepper puree. I don't know. I'm just a weird white dude from the Iowa-Illinois border. I don't know how to talk. Distilled vinegar, salt, natural hickory smoke flavor, mustard powder, molasses, clove, granulated garlic, paprika, cayenne pepper, tamarind paste, black pepper, onion powder, ancho chili powder, celery powder, and spices. No high fructose corn syrup, gluten-free, all natural, refrigerate after opening. Well, right now I can't eat it every day either because I'm trying to lower my sugar intake and all that good stuff and try to get back in shape a little bit. But I do eat it on occasion. I'll probably have some tonight and I'll probably have some on Sunday. But then I go about 5 or 6 days a week and I don't eat any of that stuff. So it's kind of how I do it. Yeah, Famous Dave's is not that good. How many grams per serving? Looks like 10 grams. It's quite a bit. Quite a bit. But boy, it's that sweet and spicy mix that does it, man. It's good stuff. Puree. Well, thank you, Carl. It's pronounced puree. Puree. Well, thank you, Carl. English is my sixth language, Carl. The Croatian sensation. Look, English is not my first language. I speak American. I don't speak English. We in America, we're not British. We don't speak English. We speak American here. That's how it works. All right, Enoch's going to get weird here. Enoch Ortega came on here. Hey, did you anybody have it, hear about Congress's bill? 666666666666666. No, I haven't. I haven't. Well, now, what some people do, Lisa, is they dilute it with other barbecue sauce, you know, and they make it a little different. So, some people dilute it. I just want to play bagpipes and beat things up. That's what I want to do, Ross. I really like bagpipes, except I don't want to wear skirts, so I can't do that. But I could definitely play the bagpipes and like bang on stuff and like beat things. I don't know why that sounds so much fun. But I like the bagpipes. That's right, Elijah. It is all in the sauce. Elijah, excuse me. It is all in the sauce. That's correct. Somebody's probably going to say I'm in the Illuminati now because I have Night of the Living barbecue sauce. That's funny. By the way, if you want to know what we're talking about, the barbecue sauce is this one right here. This one. Big Whale, I always wear undergarments. I'm not some kind of weird creep. And I couldn't wear the skirt thing anyway. I can't do that. How can he preach her sorceries and plagues without the Bible health message? Sounds like weird people come in. Sounds like somebody weird. I'm going to go ahead and just delete that comment because it's just weird. It's just weird. And weird people follow me, like, everywhere I go. Like, weird people contact me. Weird people contact me and say the strangest things you can ever imagine in your life. Send me the strangest, weirdest emails you can ever imagine in your life. Good morning, Tom and Linda Nachtman from Arizona. I wonder if I'm making people mad yet because I haven't got to anything yet. They do always find me. I mean, they find me everywhere. Like, no matter where I'm at, they find me. Talk about the fowls of the air, man. Anyway, how can you eat barbecue? Enoch asked me if I'm talking about him. What do you mean, Enoch? I'm sorry, Ross. But if I come to see you, I'm wearing pants, bro. Don't get mad at me, bro. I'm wearing pants, man. Don't get mad, bro. I'm wearing pants. I love you, man, but I'm wearing pants. Oh, I got to. Definitely wearing pants, man. But that's okay. I know it's not a skirt. I know it's not. I get that. But Carl Winters, we'll have to have a discussion about drums. Because drums are okay if they're used the right way. It's like a snare drum or something. So, but it matters what the drum. I wish I could hook up this music and play it for you. But I just don't know how to do it yet. Because if this was a Mac, then guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? I would know how to do it because it makes sense and it works. But because it's not a Mac and it's a Windows, it never works. Okay, there we go. Sorry, I'm over it now. I'm over it now. I'm over it. Carl, you don't know about drums? Oh, boy. Guess what series Pastor Cooley has to do again on OPBC Online Live? Guess which one? I'm going to have to do my series on rock music and maybe country music. Honky-tonk hybrid music from hell. Man, that was a great episode. I love that one. That was great. Oh, no. There's some drums that you can, like a snare drum, that's like a march, that is not a bad thing. But most drums are bad. Most drums, the way they're played, are very bad. Somebody just asked me the question. Would you let the government track your smart... Well, actually, it's an article, not... They didn't ask me the question. Would you let the government track your smartphone if it meant we could reopen sooner? No! You know what I would tell them? Open up, you bunch of commies, and quit tracking my phone anyway like you've been doing ever since I had the stupid smartphone. You bunch of commies. Thank you. That goes way back in the Wayback Machine when Israel had a rock concert. You've been listening that long? Hey, who's listening right now? Okay, there's 61 people on here. Tell me, how long have you listened to my sermons or OPBC, our sermons here? How long? Put it in the comment section if you can. How long have you... I'm just curious how long you've been listening. Ready? I'm going to get to some news and some things, I promise. But let's do that little experiment there. I like this song. Let's play this one.
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified.
Lisa, you've listened for 8 years? Seriously?
Thy salvation wrought, thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each one supplied, and no good thing to me.
South Park Mexican since 1977. I would have been a year old, man.
Denied, since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more complete.
Hi, Pam. Hope you're doing well.
In thee, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified.
Salvation wrought, All right. Well, oh, cops are coming after us. No, maybe not. They're going the other way. Well, praise the Lord. Some people said 8 years. And Pam was my next door neighbor, her and her husband, and her two children. And so I remember them well. Let's see. Excluding the members, of course, of Old Paths Baptist Church. Andrea said 2 years. You, Pilgrim Lady, you don't count. 11 years, 4 months. Jesus is awesome. Said back in 2012, the Son of God in 2012. Man, that's hard to believe. 8 years. So lots of people, 8 years around. That's when we first started putting things out, I think. We did have some sermons on sermon.net. I don't know who Brad Paisley is, I guess. Somebody mentioned him. Anyway, interesting. Okay. So, lots of people. Elijah Morgan. Yep, we're going to talk about the Pope, actually, right now. Here we go. First one. Pope encourages Muslims to pray to Allah during Universal Day of Prayer. So, here we go. Here it starts, or it continues on. You know, the Pope, he is that Antichrist figure. He is that picture of that man of sin, the son of perdition, or the false prophet. I mean, there's a lot of speculation for each as far as that goes, concerning where people believe that he falls in line with. But here we have Pope Francis has endorsed the call to believers of all religions to unite together spiritually on May 14th in a day of prayer and fasting to implore God to help humanity overcome the coronavirus pandemic. The idea of this universal day of prayer comes from the High Committee for Human Fraternity, which originated as a concrete response to the Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together, signed by Pope Francis, Ahmed El Taib, and all other Islamic leaders during his visit to the United Arab Emirate last year. The goal of this call to action is to have all religions and faith and sects engage in the respective religious activity according to their own tradition. The Muslim will pray, the Hindu will fast, the Sikhs will do good deeds, and all vice versa, in the belief that these activities will appeal to God in some way and he'll respond by ending to the pandemic. Now, think about this. We're going to get into this, but this sounds awful familiar, doesn't it? We've seen this before. In Daniel, here we go. We've heard this before. These guys have they really do have a God complex. And they don't care. Okay, what does the Pope do? Well, he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Same spirit. Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast that same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, I have no desire to unite with these people and to pray with any of them. I do not wish to be a part of their days of prayer because they unite with Antichrist. They unite with an Antichrist spirit. They unite with this one world, new world order agenda. This new world order of a religion together that everybody is, look, what did Bush say? We're all worshiping the same God. No, we're not. Allah is not Jehovah. Allah is not Jehovah. Now, Muslims and Catholics, the ones that believe Catholic dogma, the ones that do not come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, the ones that believe in Mary being the mediator, co-redemptress, then yes, they all do worship the same God. Isis, Horus, and Set, right? But what we find here is this unity. This is the full text here. Dear fellow believers in God, the all creator, our brothers and sisters in humanity everywhere. Whoa! In God. They don't mention Jesus. They don't mention Jehovah. They don't mention the Father, God the Father, Jehovah. The great I am. Dear fellow believers in God, our world is facing a great danger that threatens the lives of millions of people around the world due to the growing spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. While we reaffirm the role of medicine and scientific research in fighting this pandemic, we should not forget to seek refuge in God, the all-creator, as we face such severe crisis. Therefore, we call on all peoples around the world to do good deeds, observe fast, pray, and make devout supplications to God Almighty to end this pandemic. Each one from wherever they are and according to the teaching of their religion, faith, or sect should implore God to lift the pandemic off us in our entire world. Are you kidding me? They're telling pagans to pray to devils to get God to do something. Right? But that's what they're doing. That is what they're doing. So you're the picture Facebook used, I just shared it. The picture YouTube uses my barbecue sauce for my broadcast. That's terrible. Oh, brother. But you think about this. Think about what's going on here. You're saying, the Pope is telling you, the Pope is telling you right now that these people, you should pray with all these people. whatever faith sect should implore God to lift up his pandemic off of the entire world. Well, which God? As part of its efforts to realize the objective of the document on human fraternity, the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity suggests announcing Thursday, May 14th, a day for prayers, fasting, supplication for the good of all humanity. It invites all religious leaders and peoples around the world to respond to this call. For humanity together, beseech God Almighty to safeguard the entire world, to help us overcome this pandemic, to restore security, stability, healthiness, prosperity, so that after this pandemic is over, our world will become a better place for humanity and fraternity than ever before. It never mentions Christ or his death on the cross, the gospel. Never mentions it. Right? But the Pope is part of this. He's part of the plan, right? He's forever part of the plan. Now, what does this sound like? Well, a few things it sounds like. Let's look at this. There are two tables, and there are two tables only. Here you go. Here's the two tables. There's only two tables of fellowship. Here we go. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and not a table of devils. You really want to make this pandemic worse? Yeah, go ahead and pray with a bunch of devils. You want to make it worse? Start unifying yourself with a bunch of devils. So what should we do? Well, we should pray every day, first of all. But my praying and fasting would not be any unity with them. I would probably choose a day before them. Before I would choose the day of. See, there's a fellowship here. These people are all joining together in a one-world religion, knocking down all barriers, and they do it in the name of love. Well, if you really love, look, if you really love people, listen to me. If you really love, like you're supposed to love, then you'll join hands with all these people in love. That's what they're saying to you. See, let me explain something to you. These little antichrist devils like the Pope here, here's the thing you have to understand about them. They are ministers of Satan. They are the ministers of Satan, and the Pope is the biggest witch you've ever met in your entire life. He is the absolute biggest witch. You know, so you literally have like all these people together. You got Rabbi. Let's see, who is this? Let's see. They pray for all these people have come together. There's rabbis there. There's Muslims there. Oh, look. This is awesome. This is great. Look at this. Because who could forget about your Christian president while we're at it here? The sacred Vedic Shanti Path, or peace prayer, was restricted by Hindu priests in the Rose Guard of the White House on occasion of the National Day of Prayer service to pray for the health, safety, and well-being of everyone affected by the coronavirus pandemic. At the invitation of the U.S. President Trump, Pujari Harish Brahmabhat, from the BAPS, whatever that's called, in New Jersey, joined religious leaders from other faiths offering prayers on the occasion. In these troubled times of social distancing and lockdown, it's not unusual for people to feel anxious. The Shanti Prayer, peace prayer, is a prayer that does not seek worldly riches, success, fame, nor is it a prayer for any desire for heaven. It's a beautiful Hindu prayer for peace, Shanti. It is a Vedic prayer derived from the something, Ayurveda. He said before reciting the prayer in Sanskrit. Hereafter, he translated English. The prayer translates onto the heavens be peace, onto the sky and earth be peace, peace be on the water, onto the herbs and the trees be peace, unto all the crops be peace, unto Brahma and to all be peace. So, these guys got the whole New World Order here with them, right? They got the whole New World Order here with them, and they're all praying together. What is this? Well, it's Antichrist. It's Antichrist. That's what it is. How do you look at it any other way but Antichrist? More about that in a little while. Here's another interesting one. Pope Francis sends donation to transgender prostitutes who are out of work amid coronavirus. Let that sink in for a second. In an unsurprising move, the Roman Pope sends a donation to a group of transgender prostitutes living in the small town of Torvenicia, Italy, who are out of work amid the coronavirus outbreak. The Pope has been increasingly supportive of the sexually aberrant for a number of years, even holding a mass for gay Catholics and held a mass with lesbian Anglican activists. According to Religion News, about 20 transgender women, which means confused men who dress and act like women, have made the parish of the Blessed Virgin of the Immaculate Hope their home. Of the Immaculate, their home. Many of the women are sex workers and have been left with no income to pay rent or bills since Italy enacted national quarantine in early March. Francis's papal alma mater, Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, wired the money to the transgender community last week. Andrea Konichia, the parish priest, who has been harboring the sex workers, told RNS, "What was important to me was the open door of the parish and the possibility of welcoming, listening, accepting the person that I had truly and concretely in front of me." What a great answer by the Holy Father! It gave us the chance to give concrete help to their needs. Are you saying you paid for prostitutes? Transgender, very confused prostitutes? Yes. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he did. Same spirit, same agenda. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Hang on a second. Anyway, I can't find it right this second, but basically you have the National Day of Prayer, which is turned into an ecumenical monstrosity of Antichrist activity, which most of your like Trump supporters will support. Unfortunately, because they think the president's actually being Christian or something. Which he's not. But that's the point. Weak-minded people that have not studied the Bible, that have not studied what they are supposed to concerning the scriptures, they fall for it. And they endorse President Trump they endorse his push and his religion, so to speak, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Pastor Paula White, please come up. Thank you, Paula.
What an honor to be here with you, President and First Lady, Vice President, Second Lady. It's a beautiful day to lift up our Lord and Savior. He is a certain God in uncertain times, and the Bible says if two or three of us agree as touching anything, it will be done. Job 22, verse 20.
Do you really think that Are they all in agreement? Are they all in agreement? Is she openly saying with these rabbis and all these others that she's in agreement with it?
Says if you decree a thing and declare a thing, it will be established. So God, we come in agreement with your word and with your name, the name of Jesus. Psalm 40 verse 17 says, you are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. I declare no more delays to the deliverance of COVID-19. No more
delays. She declares no more delays. Did you see that? Pastor Paula declares no more delays.
Delays to healing and a vaccination. No more delays to restoration of this great nation, the United States of America. For Psalm 71, 2 says, and your righteousness deliver us and rescue us. Incline your ear and save us. Psalm 107 says, you deliver us out of distress and out of destruction. Your word will not return void, according to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So I declare your word. I declare divine intervention and supernatural turnaround. You will restore this land. According to...
Wow, she's like ordering God. You will restore this land. Like God is a genie in the bottle, right? Like God is a genie in the bottle and she's ordering him to do it. Listen to her words. That's not boldly praying. It's ordering God.
Psalm 118:25, save our nation, O Lord, and send prosperity now. For Deuteronomy 28:8 says, command your blessing upon this land. You said in Deuteronomy 8:9 to bring us into a good land without any lack. For your word declares in Psalm 33:2, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. So I declare you right now to be Lord over this nation, over the United States of America.
I declare for you to be Lord over it? How in the world do you think you can declare that? It's seriously like a witch talking.
And we receive your blessing over any plague, over any economic distress. You will stay the hand of the enemy according to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16. When 70,000 men died by a plague, David cried out as he covered himself in prayer. And the Lord answered and said, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. Lord, let that be the cry today, and let that be your answer. Lord, enough.
Well, there's a difference there. Let me tell you the difference. Let's go there. Let's see. See if I can find it. Hold on. Here it is. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. But what did David do? And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now in the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. David repented of his sin. And David spake of the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. there was repentance on David's part, sorrow in the heart for sin. David didn't order anything for God to stop. David beseeched the Lord. He sought the Lord that God would have mercy. He repented. See the difference? See how she's twisting scripture? See how it's all being twisted up? Right? That's how they work. That's how witches work.
Coronavirus, enough to death, enough to fear, enough to poverty. Stay thine your hand. We pray over President Trump and First Lady, Vice President and Second Lady and this administration. I declare Psalm 89, verse 21. Let your hand establish President Trump. And let your arm strengthen him. I declare Psalm 98:1 that your right hand and your holy arm will give him victory. We declare victory in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 58:11 says, guide him continually. And you said in Psalm 78:72 that you would guide him by the stillness of your hand. You declared in Psalm 43 that send out your light and truth and let him lead his household, his administration, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for your mercies, for they are new every single day. And every morning your mercies are new. Your steadfast love never ceases. I declare new mercies for hospital workers, new mercies for doctors and nurses, moms and dads.
Wait a minute. Why doesn't she just go heal everybody? Why doesn't she just go heal everybody? Why is she worrying herself about, why does she have to just simply declare things and do that? Why doesn't she just go heal them all? Why aren't the faith healers out healing all of them? Why aren't they declaring healing for everyone, right? Why aren't they doing that? Where's the declaration of healing for everyone? I'll tell you where it is. I'll tell you where it is. It's a big scam.
Pastors and clergies, CEOs and employers, for the president, vice president. God, your love is steadfast and it endures forever. So right now, wrap your arms of love around every person who is hurting, every person who is confused, scared, tired, weary, sick.
I mean, you could almost just see the Jezebel spirit that lurks over this president. There's like a Jezebel spirit there. It's a spirit that lords over men. You can see it. You can see it. And it sits and resides over the top of them.
Lonely, let them know your love. Let them know that you will never leave them and you will never forsake them. And in conclusion, I declare Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. I ask the Lord to do a new thing in our nation by giving waters in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Malachi 4:2 says, Jesus, arise over the nation with healing in your wings. President, one last word. Like David, who had had victory after victory after victory after victory, would face his biggest battle. It was called Ziklag. And they would take his wives and his children, and the city would be burned down. And he cried and he wept, and he began to pray out to God, and God gave him a word. And through fasting and praying, I believe this is the word for you and for this nation. The Lord spoke to him and said, pursue and go after them, and you shall without fail recover all. Sir, the word of the Lord, I believe for this nation and for this administration, is you will recover all.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, she knows exactly what she's doing, all right. She's not deceived at all. She knows exactly. These brazen Jezebels that stand in these pulpits and usurp authority, they know exactly what they're doing. They are not confused at all. To a T, they are not confused. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and it hovers. It hovers over them. It absolutely hovers over his over his presidency and everything. They know it. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and it's an ecumenical spirit. It's a spirit that desires that unity above what is right. Now, let me tell you the difference in that, too. Our forefathers, when things would happen, they would have a day of fasting and mourning and prayer over their sin and over their coldness and over their depravity, right? They would have you know, they would have a contrite spirit found in Psalm 51. They'd be broken over their sin. They'd ask God to heal their land, ask God to forgive them.
We'll exercise judgment right now.
Because we
in
have...
In the name of Jesus!
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh, Ramash.
I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, we break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
Wait. What do you need a vaccination for when you could just wave your little hokey pokey stick and you can heal everybody with your magic little wand? What do you need a vaccination for? I just want to remind you that this was actually March 30th.
I call you done. I call you gone. You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the Garden of Eden. You will destroy through COVID-19. No more!
No more! No more!
It
no more
is finished.
Finished.
It is over. And the United States of America is healed and well.
Thank you.
Again.
Praise.
Saith the mighty.
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Glory.
Glory. Of peace, who is also the Prince of War, the Lord Jesus Christ. When oppressive, mean, nasty people attack his people, when mean, oppressive, nasty diseases attack his people, George, the Prince of Peace takes his place. And he becomes the mighty man of war.
Thank you.
Okay, so when that didn't work, this happened.
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
Now they're going into four of them coming together and doing it. Right? Here we go. Let's back up here. This is the second time, right?
COVID-19!
Burn. Well, I'm telling you, it gets hot down there. I mean, like Jesse says, it's Africa hot down there, man. And it gets... Are you listening to me? Because it's right there on the coast. It gets muggy. And that's what it takes to kill this thing. It hates heat. It hates humidity. It hates water. It just dies. I hollered at the top of my voice, in the name of Jesus, you get back up there where you belong. Whoosh, way up it went.
Yeah.
I messed us up. Man.
Okay. So here's COVID-19, right? And here's these guys
we'll
executing
judgment right now.
Because we
in
have
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, partners. This is Kenna.
Yeah. So anyway, here we see it very plainly and clearly. Same Antichrist spirit. Same thing as Paula White and the president's pastor. Listen, how do you believe that people can openly defy the word of God and then get up there on stage and call yourself a pastor, Pastor Paula, and then you go ahead and preach, and then you go ahead and you're going to execute authority like Kenny did over COVID-19. Right? So, you know, if you just look at the spirit of these people, you can see it's Antichrist. You can see all of it is pushing an Antichrist spirit. None of their COVID-19 proclamations come true, right? And who could forget about this? Nobody can forget about this. Nobody.
Well, listen, partners. We don't have a flu season. We've got...
We don't got a flu season. We ain't got a flu season. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? We ain't got no flu? What's the matter with you?
Not a duck season, a deer season, but we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by His stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now, Father.
Wait a minute. How could you already get the flu? You said with His stripes we were healed. We don't get the flu. We don't have a flu season.
I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people.
Oh, I love it.
Flu, I bind you off of the people. I bind you off of the people in their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus
done.
Himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse.
No, actually, Jesus did not give us a flu shot. That's not true. Right? That's not true. Do you see how all these people, like Paula White, all of them, Antichrist, the Pope, all the same agenda. Let's all pray together.
Curse of flu, and we receive it and we take it and we are healed by His stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says He Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And
that, I was talking about spiritually. Spiritually sick souls. That God heals our souls from our sin. That we're like spiritual lepers.
By His stripes, we were healed. When we were healed, we are healed.
When we were healed, we are healed. Like making the machines at the machine-making plant. Like Bush said, we make the machines at the machine-making plant. Oh, yeah, I get it. Here we go.
When we were healed, we are healed. So get on the Word, stay on the Word, and if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu, well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You just keep saying it over and over again. Snot come dripping down your face. You got like a sheep leg hanging down there. You say, I ain't got that. It's supposed to be that way. I ain't really got that. It's not real. I just keep speaking those symptoms away. Paul, when your back gets sore, you just speak that away. You say, my back ain't sore. It ain't sore. Nah, my back ain't sore. Speak that away. Better do that.
Well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that, I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. Put words, inoculate yourself with the Word of God.
You've got to inoculate, that's not the Word of God, what you just said to inoculate yourself with. You just got to speak it. If you inoculate yourself with it, then you'll be inoculated and you won't be having to worry about it. Right? Because you inoculated it.
He Himself bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by His stripes I was healed. I am healed. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
I don't know why it makes me so mad. But when I hear those people say Jesus' name, it makes me so mad. It literally makes me cringe. Right? It literally makes me cringe. When I hear them
say the Lord's name when they do, because I know it's in vain. I know it's a big lie. I know that they don't believe it. I know they don't believe in the Lord. I know none of them do.
Hello, partners. This is Kenan.
Right? I know they don't. It's not real to them. It's just, it's a game to them. It's not life. It's not the words of life to them. And I think it's interesting how nobody really wants to talk about, you know, people that are strong Trump supporters, they never want to talk about this National Day of Prayer stuff. They never really want to get into it. They never really want to talk about it. And I think the reason why they don't want to talk about it is because it shows the hypocrisy of what it really is. Right? It shows that it's all Antichrist. It shows what they really believe, what they really hold to. It shows that they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's a big ecumenical mess. That's why churches should stay out of those things. They shouldn't be a part of them. Right? They shouldn't be a part of them. Because hang on 1 second here. What is this? Let's see. I'm looking at this. Hang on. Here you go. Here's another example of this. Whoops. That's not where that's supposed to go. Right there. National Day of Prayer features Latter-day Saints, Evangelicals, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, and Hindus. See that? Look at this. The 2020 National Day of Prayer was different for a few hours. A few hours before the presentation of six faiths offered prayers in an eerily empty White House garden. Six. Well, that's kind of interesting. Six. The Church of Jesus. Each arrived alone, took a rapid COVID-19 test, and wore masks, said Debbie Marriott, who prayed on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Other men and women presented evangelicals. Catholics, Muslims, Jews, and Hindus. Well, don't that sound like a big, sweet Antichrist mess? Gotta be six, right? Let's see. The pandemic also dominated the comments and prayers. In recent weeks and days, our country has endured a grave hardship. I ask all Americans to join their voices and their hearts in spiritual union as we ask our Lord in heaven for strength and solace. Harrison, a member of the Church Washington, D.C., the Church's Washington, D.C. Public Affairs Advisory Committee, accepted a request from Elder Ronald Rosmond of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Those are Mormons, by the way. She called it a once-in-a-lifetime event. She said she was especially impressed by Brittany Akinzola, a nurse and pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina, who the president introduced for working 13-hour days, excuse me. The president also highlighted Mario Salarona. Every morning I wake up at 3:30 in the morning, get ready, put my feet. I pray and I ask, good Lord, please conquer this vicious virus. We will vanquish the virus, Trump said. We will vanquish the virus. Then the faith leaders prayed for divine aid. Merciful Savior, heal and comfort the sick so that with health restored, they may give you praise, said Sister Anita Martinez, a Catholic nun. Divine Physician, accompany our caregivers so that serving you with patience may heal wisely. Pujara Harish spoke to Shanti. Rabbi Ariel Sodwin said the pandemic has altered the Jewish relationship with God. Jews have not been in their synagogues for nearly 2 months. These sacred places where we go to seek you and to derive inspiration 3 times a day, every day, are empty, dark, and shuttered. Instead, all we have hid is the sanctuary of our own homes and limited allowability of interactions. During the past, Trump said this, During the past week and months, our heads have bowed at places outside of our typical houses of worship, whispering in silent solitude for God to renew our spirit and carry us through the unforeseen and unseemingly unbearable hardships. The proclamation said, even though we have been unable to gather together in fellowship with our church families, we are still connected through prayer. The rabbi added, Master of the world, you are the healer of all flesh. We implore you to eradicate this awful plague from your earth. Help those who suffer, comfort those who mourn, sustain those who have lost livelihood. Bishop Dwight Green of the Pentecostal Church of God in Christ said it's membership has prayed for 12 weeks for deliverance from the coronavirus pandemic. Pastor Paula White, Trump's faith advisor and another evangelical, referred to Psalm 40:17. U.S. Army Islamic Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Abirahim Rahim. As did First Lady Melinda Trump for the pandemic victims and their families, as well as those fighting for their lives. I pray for the many without jobs, food, and shelter, Rahim added. I ask that you would give all our nation's leaders the wisdom and courage to lead us through this pandemic. Why doesn't that make anybody sick to their stomach? That here you have this Muslim, these Jews, these Hindus, all these people coming together. Praying. How can any Christian think this is right? Harrison said she enjoyed meeting Raheem and will arrange an open house tour of the Washington, D.C. temple for some of those she met. The landmark Latter-day Saint building is under renovation. Oh. I get it. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let's see. Well, we know what the Mormon temple, right? You know, we have the Mormon temples. And remember in my... Here's the Masonic symbols at the LDS temple. And I don't have my PowerPoint with me today that had that on there. But these symbols are here. And Joseph Smith, if you remember this sermon, let's see. Maybe I'll redo these someday with PowerPoints in them. They'd be better for sure. Or maybe I can just put together the PowerPoints and have Luke add them to it. But let's see. I think it would be this one, maybe, but I'm not sure. But here's a whole series on Mormonism. And in these, I talk about that. Also, the Star of Your God, Remphan. Let me see if I can find that. I don't know. Those never work. Let's see. Let's go back here. Give me a second. I don't have a PowerPoint of this, but I do have the slides, and I don't think Luke and I have added that. But we will redo this one and put that on there. But you'll see the same, those same all-seeing eyes, and you'll see the same things. They're all right over the top of there. What are they promoting and pushing? My point is that what they're promoting and pushing is a one-world religion. And that Eye of Horus, that same eye, you know, that same eye is still a part of that. So, anyway, so if you wonder why Muslims are inviting, why are Muslims inviting Islamic people? Well, if you study the Muslim religion and you study Mormonism, you will find out that they have a lot of the Muslims are they're Masons. Okay? A lot of Mormons are Masons. Freemasonry basically Joseph Smith which I might redo these again and talk about these. Joseph Smith, the Mormon founder, was a master mason, and he actually was it's reported that he's actually was killed by Masons that were angry because he stole the secrets of the lodge. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, you could find that here. And maybe I'll review some of these and go over them someday again. I've got a whole series on the JWs. I also have a ton of PowerPoints that I don't think we finished on the JWs either. So I could put some PowerPoints to these and put them on again. But it would be good to talk about this stuff for sure, to refresh everybody's memory about this one world religion. And maybe I would do a new one on the New World Order of Religions, the New World Religions. And maybe I'll do a new one on that, and I'll show how all of these religions have the same spirit. Because they do. That's what they do. That's how they operate. Let's see. What is this? By the way, that is why all these people are in agreement about all these lockdowns too. And that's why most of them can be in agreement with all this. That's why your charismatics and all these other ones are so apt to follow all these lockdowns. The Pope, Billy Graham, and all these people of prominence. That's why. They all have the one and same ecumenical spirit. They all teach the same thing. What is it? What is going to happen? Well, something is going to unite them completely. Okay? Or should I say, someone is going to unite them completely. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, watch this now, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Isn't that what they're starting to do now? They're all coming together. They're all praying together. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. You notice this. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What are we seeing now? Foreshadowings. Strong delusions. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They're all coming together. and they have this, I would call it, Cindy, I would almost call it a dark awakening. I would call it a dark awakening that's transpiring, because that's really what it is. It's a dark awakening. So we can see it. And amidst those dark awakenings, though, don't also understand that God will still awaken his people to that, and the churches will remain stronger. The true churches and true believers will be strengthened through it. That's going to happen too. Because wherever there are counterfeit ones, there are true ones. Wherever Satan tries to counterfeit something, there are always true ones. Well, that was a dark awakening back then, but I think there's another one here now. The rise of wickedness. The rise of false religions. Anyway, all right, well, I'm pretty much done. But I will say this, pray for us. We're going to plan on going preaching tomorrow. We're going to go down somewhere. I'm not going to say where, but we're going to go somewhere, and we're going to preach tomorrow in the open air, Lord willing, tomorrow towards evening. We're going to go preach the Word of God. And we're going to preach and warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. So you pray for us as we do that. As we seek God's face. As we try to hand out tracts and preach the gospel to people. We know it's going to be weird because of the way things are. But you pray for us in the midst of it all. Pray the Lord continue to provide for us. Thank you for those that have been a blessing to our ministry as well by praying for us, number one, and by also sending in gifts and things like that to the ministry. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you for thinking about us. Some people have put it on like their regular PayPal thing, and it says now it's like a regular payment that they do every month or whatever. And I know it's giving, it's not a payment, but I mean, I that's how PayPal sets it up. But I'm very grateful for that as well, that you think about us every month and about our ministry and about, providing for our needs and everything like that. So we're grateful for that. You keep praying for us. Somebody asked us, are we allowed out there? Well, there's still a stay-at-home order, if that's what you mean. But we're not going to stay at home. We're going to go down somewhere, and we're going to preach the gospel to sinners, regardless of our governor's edict. So I'm allowed to by God. So, you know, if protesters can gather thousands of them to protest, our right to preach the gospel should be recognized. Right? We're not allowed out either, but I'm doing it anyway. Right? I mean, to be honest with you, I've shaken hands with people and done everything that I normally do. Unless people are weird and I just stay away from them. If they don't, you know, I don't want to upset them. So, but I mean, as far as us being allowed to, I mean, it's the Lord that gave us the commission, right? So we have to go. And it's been long enough for us. It's been too long. So I'm going. I'm going. So if they want to give me a ticket and put me in timeout or something, that's fine. But I'm still going to go preach. Somebody's got to do it, right? So, amen, Ross. That's right. That's right. We protest the new age. I'm not going to let the governor tell me that I can't pastor a church, that I can't preach the gospel, and that I can't have church, number one. And all those other things. I refuse to let the governor tell me that that's what I'm going to do. So, people can get mad at that all they want to, but that's the way it is. Right? Just because there's a bunch of little despots out there that are governors and think they're God. Think they can make edicts and sign things into place. Right? Like Nebuchadnezzar. Until he found out that the Most High God reigneth. And God turned him into a beast. Remember that? That God turned him into a beast. Gave him the heart of a beast for a while. You want to act like a beast and ignore God? Then guess what? I'm just a little sick and tired of these little despots running around acting like they're God. Telling people they can't see their mom and all this other stuff. Yeah, whatever. 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 Can't see your mom. Can't do this. You can't. Yeah, right. Whatever. Now, we all have to sacrifice in this time. We all have to sacrifice in this time. So we all must make these sacrifices and do this. Do it yourself. You go sit in a cave somewhere. You go hide somewhere. You go do it. We had like the barber shop they shut down, right? He shut down the barber shop too in St. Paul because the guy opened up because he's like, look, I'm making everybody wear masks and gloves and everything. One person can come in at a time, but I got to make some money, man. I'm going broke. I'm going to lose everything I have. So they sent the cops in to shut him down. Because they're little dictators, that's why. But anyway, so out of chaos comes order. The new world order. Out of chaos comes a new order. Maybe we'll talk about that on Monday. Because that's really what's going on here. Out of chaos comes order. They created the chaos. They'll reset the order. with all due respect, the mayor of Chicago needs to do a whole lot more to, than her hair to make herself look better. Because she looks like a flaming lesbo. Oh, wait, she is a flaming lesbo. Did you hear what she said? She got on there and said, the time to educate is over. If you have a party, if you do this, if you do that, we're coming for you with the police. And I'm like, lady, you're just making me, I don't even have parties, but if I was in Chicago, you'd make me want to gather with all my friends and be like, okay, do it. Because there's just something about some short-haired, dyked lesbian screaming at me, telling me what I'm going to do. There's just a part of my manhood that just comes up and comes out and is like, I want to be a ferocious tiger and roar over you. That's what I want to do when you do that to me. That's the reaction that I have. That's the absolute reaction that I have when I hear that. It's just the way it is. I should show you one thing before I go. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it here. I was going to go, but maybe I'll show you one more thing that just drove me batty today. Let's see if I can find it here. Hang on a second. Here it is, right here.
I can't believe China's blaming the U.S.
Let me get through their stupid commercial here.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. One of the reasons that most of the Western world embraced unprecedented mass quarantines this spring was due to the work of a single man, a man you may not have heard of. He's a British academic called Neil Ferguson. Ferguson is a professor at a college in London, but he's also something of an international celebrity. He is best known for his dire predictions about pandemics. Ferguson seemed especially panicked by the Wuhan coronavirus. At one point, he suggested the coronavirus might be comparable to the Spanish flu of 1918, the pandemic that killed up to 100 million people. On February 28th of this year, as the disease spread throughout Europe, Ferguson publicly endorsed the Chinese model of quarantine, specifically. Now, keep in mind that as Ferguson spoke the words you're about to see, videos were circulating on the internet showing police in Wuhan throwing screaming citizens into the back of panel trucks and driving them to some unspecified internment somewhere. Ferguson must have known that the Chinese government's response in Wuhan was extreme and utterly inhumane. He endorsed it anyway. That's how serious Neil Ferguson was about this virus.
One has to adopt the sort of community measures which have been adopted, particularly in places like Wuhan and China, where you try to reduce contacts between people in the community. So the sorts of measures...
If you say it with an English accent, does it make you sound more like a psychopath or that you're smarter and people ought to listen to you?
Which are important are, first of all, if anybody has any sort of respiratory disease, cold, anything, stay at home until those symptoms are fully resolved.
Seems like kind of a reserved academic, and all of a sudden he's endorsing the Wuhan response. Leaders around the world paid attention to this. They took Ferguson's advice and locked down their entire populations. The British government asked Ferguson to help design its quarantine.
I don't care if he's a Mason, what he's saying is right.
As a member of the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergency, SAGE, Ferguson was happy to help shut down the entire United Kingdom. But it turns out he wasn't that interested at all in participating in it personally. Today, the Telegraph newspaper reported that Neil Ferguson ignored his own lockdowns. While the rest of London stayed trapped indoors, indeed the rest of the country, Ferguson repeatedly invited his married mistress over to his apartment for sex. And then, perhaps most striking of all, he was infected with the coronavirus at the time. Neil Ferguson became sick and tested positive.
I know, everybody. I'll say it. It's not an endorsement of everything Tucker Carlson does or Fox News. I'm just trying to get you to look at the hypocrisy of it all. That's what it's about. I get it. He's not a sold-out Christian. He's not any of those things. I understand it. I get it. I'm just trying to show you the point he's making. Okay, there we go.
In mid-March. We know this because he said so publicly at the time. Not long after that, he invited his mistress over. By doing this, he exposed her to a deadly virus. He also exposed her husband and her children back home. When confronted today, Ferguson said this, quote, "I acted in the belief that I was immune." That was his explanation. The problem is there is no scientific proof that that's true. Can someone who was sick a few weeks ago still transmit the coronavirus? We're not sure. For a famous scientist, Neil Ferguson is curiously ignorant of science. He's also, obviously, an appalling hypocrite, and he's not alone in that. So many of the people making our policies are like this. Almost compulsively, again and again, they do the very things they punish us for doing. When they're caught, they acknowledge no shame. They are entirely lacking in self-awareness. They have no idea how absurd they are. They discredit themselves without even realizing it. Almost immediately after telling the rest of New York City to stay inside, for example, Mayor Bill de Blasio loaded up his SUV with government bodyguards and headed for the gym across town in Brooklyn. A government spokesman later explained the trip was necessary because de Blasio's gym, quote, has been a huge part of his and his family's life. Oh, okay, that makes sense. De Blasio likes his gym, so he kept going there despite telling you not to. Got it. Weeks later, de Blasio still couldn't stay out of Brooklyn for some reason. One day, he and his wife left their home in Manhattan, Gracie Mansion, and drove more than 10 miles to Prospect Park in Brooklyn for some sunshine and some fresh air. A stunned citizen happened to see the whole thing and videotaped it. Here's what happened.
Seriously, you guys have a park. You live in the middle of a park. You don't need to not essentially travel to Brooklyn.
Come on, guys. Give it a break.
Come on. You wouldn't even open roads for people of all backgrounds. I'm not going to give it a break. Like, this is selfish behavior. This is the epitome of non-essential travel.
Hey, I just read an unbelievable article in the Epoch Times.
Non-essential travel? What's that? When you make the rules, that's not even a category. Just ask Justin Trudeau, the preachy Prime Minister of Canada. On April 12th, Trudeau released a video commanding Canadians to stay in their homes for Easter. It's what Jesus would do, he declared.
So as we reflect on Jesus' message of love and compassion.
Oh my goodness. This is how you know they're Antichrist. And this is the point I'm trying to make. If you can look past who's delivering the message and understand what the point that's trying to be made here, this is the point right here. This point. This is Antichrist. This is how the deception works.
Let's think about our healthcare workers and essential service workers who are on the front lines every day. Let's put into practice what it truly means to love our neighbors as ourselves by making sacrifices to protect their health. Let's stay home for them.
That's the kind of quarantine Jesus endorses. Love means staying home. For you, not for them. Not long after recording the video you just saw, Trudeau left the capital and traveled all the way to Quebec to visit his family at their lake house, just like you'd want to do on Easter, if you were allowed to do that, but you're not allowed, so stop complaining. You might also want to get your hair cut. People do, and in Chicago last month, that was not allowed. You couldn't get your hair cut. But the city's mayor, Lori Lightfoot, had her hair done anyway. When she was caught doing this, Lightfoot didn't even blush. Now, we played this clip for you on Friday's show, but it's one of those videos that no matter how many times you watch it, drops your jaw every time.
I'm the public face of this city. I'm on national media, and I'm out in the public eye. And, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut.
Got that? Shut up, proles! I'm on national television! Chris Cuomo knows that feeling very well. Last month, the CNN anchor drove to a piece of property he owns in the Hamptons, where apparently he's building a new weekend house. At the time, Cuomo was infected with the coronavirus and suffering from symptoms. He was supposed to be quarantined in total isolation in his basement full time. That's where he told his television audience he was. Night after night, Cuomo put on shows that revolved around his struggles with the illness and his virtuous, even selfless efforts to prevent others from getting infected with it. Given all the publicity he was generating for being sick, at least one Hamptons resident was shocked to see him out and about and confronted Cuomo about it. Cuomo responded by calling the man a, quote, jackass loser. The man's real name is David Whalen, and we invited him on the show to hear his story.
I just said, don't you have the coronavirus? Shouldn't you be quarantined? And I think his next words were, what the hell do you know about this? What do you know about the rules? I said, you're not supposed to be out here. Nobody had gloves on. Nobody had masks on.
Oh, did you hear that detail? No gloves, no mask. An infected man circulating among an unsuspecting population. When you watch television, you imagine Chris Cuomo is a responsible journalist. That's how he often describes himself. In fact, he's Typhoid Mary. And there's a vast gap between those two personas. For the average person, hypocrisy is the most embarrassing thing of all. Getting caught the way Chris Cuomo did would spur an existential crisis in most people. You might decide to devote the rest of your life to personal humility in response. You might move to Paraguay in shame and never speak in public again. But not Chris Cuomo. He didn't look back. He blamed the other guy and kept going. Cuomo was right there on television just last night, haranguing people for doing precisely what he did.
But there's also feel, fatigue. I've had it. Season's changing. It's getting warm. Want to get back to it. Look at these fools. Fools. I know they want to be out there. Fools, it's not about you. What about the other people? And look, I'm not going to castigate you. That's not my job. I'm not your daddy.
There's a pencil, right? That's all I need.
Hang on a second. This is interesting. Then I'm going to get out of here.
Fools, it's not about you, says the buff CNN anchor. Because if there's one thing in this world that Chris Cuomo just can't stand, it's narcissism. He hates it. It doesn't seem to occur to Chris Cuomo for a moment that he may be actually describing himself. It never occurs to any of these people. It's never one time occurred to Chris Cuomo's brother, the governor of New York. Andrew Cuomo just gave a pungent press briefing, as he so often does. Maybe you saw it. If not, watch this clip and tell us what you notice.
I think it's disrespectful of people not to wear masks. I mean, think about it. Do I think local government should be enforcing it? And should there be sanctions? Yes. Yes. Because it is a public health emergency. And I think there should be a penalty. Because you could literally kill someone. You could literally kill someone because you didn't want to wear a mask.
Hear that, Dumbo? You're hard of hearing? Listen up. It's disrespectful. You could literally kill someone by not wearing a mask, says the man not wearing a mask, who happens to be sitting next to other people who are not wearing masks. Do they hear themselves when they talk like this? On some level, they do. They know they're hypocritical frauds, and that's exactly why they lecture you so hysterically. It makes them feel better. They probably suspect you know it, too. It's just so obvious. They simply don't care enough about your opinion to bother with what you think. That's all of them. This would be infuriating if these people didn't run the world. But it's worse than that because they do.
Interesting. But, I mean, here's somebody mainstream that's talking about this that tells you exactly how it is. And that's it. That is exactly how it is. They think they're above. They legislate law or actually orders. They legislate orders for people that they don't enforce, that they don't live by themselves. They bind men with burdens that they're not willing to follow. Anyway, so you see the whole Antichrist perspective there. Well, Jesus would love his neighbor and do this. So you should do this because Jesus would do it. I've had people tell me that out there when I was preaching. They would say, I remember some cop said to me, we were talking about preaching or something. She goes, well, I don't think Jesus would want me to answer that. I think he'd want you to do this. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. That's not in the Bible, though, is it? It isn't. But that's what they do because they're antichrist. So they'll use the name of Christ to do that. But anyway, so all right, everybody, we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend and pray for us, and we'll talk.